Hello everyone and welcome to the Property Investment Blueprint Podcast. Imagine being able to earn passive income, build generational wealth whilst gaining total freedom from your business or job. That is what Property Investment Blueprint Podcast is all about. I am your host, Rahim Bah. In less than 5 years, I was able to start my property investment journey from zero to building a multi-million pound property investment portfolio that generates passive income that allows my wife and I to quit our jobs. And now I want to show you how to do the same. I will share with you how to create wealth without creating a job. You will learn the exact same investment strategies I use to multiply my net worth to over seven figures all before the age of 30. If you want to learn all about low-risk property investing, achieve financial freedom, and live the life you truly desire, this podcast is going to show you exactly how to do it. Do you know the renovation and development industry is forecasted to grow over 4% in the next year? My name is Rahim. I am a property investor. Welcome back to my channel. If you're new here, smash the subscribe button because I talk about property investment, personal development, and how to gain financial freedom. So in this video, we're going to talk about how to start a renovation company, the challenges you may face when you start your renovation company, as well as why I actually started my renovation company in the first place. So what is a renovation company? A renovation company is a company that is structured to purely help property investors, landlords, and developers to help renovate, refurbish, and develop their property investment portfolio. It could be from painting and decorating all the way to digging, laying foundation, and building properties all the way to the end. So these are the spectrum of renovation. So why do I start my renovation company? I started my renovation company because I had so many people asking me, could you help me renovate my property? Could you help me paint and decorate my house? Could you help me repair my kitchen? Could you also help me upgrade my bathroom? So when these questions start repeating, and I realize probably there's a gap in the market. But what really, really triggers me to start my renovation company is the investors I work with. Most of them are doctors, accountants, lawyers, barristers. They are very busy individuals. They want to get to the property industry, but because they are so busy, they haven't got time to see the property, view the property, appraise the property and understand what works needs required, and also find the builders to help them do the work. So when they approached me, I realized there's a gap in the market where I can add significant value. That was one of the reasons why I started my renovation company. And I realized also starting my renovation company, I'll be able to subcontract my company, the renovation company, to also do work for my development company. Then that renovation company was born. In order for you to start the company, obviously the first thing, you have to have a name. The name you need to have is a name that literally, as soon as someone read it, they know exactly what your company does. It could be anything that relates to what you're doing. And again, you don't have to be a developer by going from ground up all the way from top. You can be a repair and maintenance person. You could be a specialist in a specific area in the renovation works. Maybe you want to be a specialist in plastering. Maybe you want to be a specialist in plumbing and gas central heating, whatever that may be for you. But you have to make whatever your business is relevant to what you want to do. The second thing that you want to do basically is to go and search on Company House to find out if nobody has taken that name in the first place. If nobody has taken that name, and then you'd have to register the company through Company House. It's a very simple process. If you do not know what to do, perhaps you want to get your accountant or someone qualified to help you create your company. Once you've registered your business, Company House will send you a confirmation email to confirm that you've registered the business, and few days later they will send you your registration certificate. So with that registration certificate is the certificate you would use then to go and open a business bank account. So you use that certificate, you go to the bank, hey bank, I've got a renovation company, I would like to open a business account. So the bank will then ask you to give them your company registration number. With that, then they would be able to open a bank account. So once you've got your renovation company name, you've registered it through Company House, and you've got your bank account, it's now time to actually get all your insurances. So what you would normally want to be looking at first is your public and liability insurance, to ensure that you are covered, the people that you're working with are also covered, to ensure that whoever is working around your team are also insured. So once you've got those two things, then you are kind of set to go. But before you start your renovation company, don't just go do renovation company. Find out first if there's a gap in the market. Find out if people are there that would allow you to do their work for them. Because it's very important for you to know that once you set your renovation company, you've got someone to actually employ you to do the works. So maybe you want to be trying doing contact, going to networking event, property event, to tell people you are a builder, you're doing this, XYZ. And then probably you start building your investor list that way. And then once you've created your company, you've got your bank account, maybe you want to create your website. Because if you've got a website, people will go and check you out. They will also see what sort of services that you provide. And on that basis, they would know what sort of job they will require you to do. Hopefully, you've got landlords, investors, and property developers ready for you to take on their project. The next thing you want to be doing now is looking for people that are going to be working for you. You may be thinking you can only set a renovation company or create a renovation company if you are a builder, plasterer, plumber, or an engineer of some sort. No, you don't have to have any experience to start your renovation company. You don't have to be a builder, you don't have to be any of these tradespeople. But what you're going to be very, very good at is sourcing people to do the job you'd like them to do. So these are the challenges I faced, getting the right people to start doing the works for me. So what you want to be doing at that point is to be proactive. So going out there looking for reliable trades people to do the work for you for when you start your renovation company. So you may be thinking, how do I get these people? You get these people by going to business event, by going to property event, by going to platforms like Checkatrade, MyBuilder. You have all these tradespeople in these platforms. So what you then do is to start vetting them, interviewing them, visiting their project, knowing how they work, how tidy they are, how reliable they are. So you build that relationship with those people. Suppose that you're taking on a whole project. You might want to have a plasterer. You might want to have a plumber and a gas engineer. You want to have an electrician. You might want to have a roofer part of your team. You might want to have a painter, decorator. You might want to have a landscaping person working with you. And obviously handymen and laborers as well to help the project going. You see, because once you're taking someone else's project, hopefully you're telling them that you're going to be doing the whole work for them. So obviously what you then do, once you've got the project, you sign the contract with the investor or the landlord, you then contract your builders that you've already maybe or hopefully vetted and knowing that they are very serious, reasonable builders to work with, and then you can then get the project going. But before you get the project going, before taking a project with someone else, ensure that you've got a contract with them. They know exactly what you're going to do. It needs to be clear, and both parties sign, and you understand clearly what they've expected you to do. So once you've done that contract with that investor or the landlord, whoever that may be for you, you have to have a contract with your tradespeople yourself. So what do I mean by that? You have to specify what you'd like them to do based on the agreement you would have had with your investor. And obviously then you tell them, this is what I like you to do, how I like you to do it, and how you're going to pay them. Obviously, the payment also will be based on how your investor is going to be paying you as well. So obviously, so that the payment are in conjunction to what you're going to be paying your builders, because obviously you don't want to not collect money from your investor and then your builder turn around and said, I need payment, and you're not being able to fulfill the payment for them. So what you want to do is basically is to set it in a way that your investor pays you first before you pay your tradespeople. So you want the investor to be the first person to pay, and then you'll be the second person to pay the investor to pay your tradespeople, because you are going to be a middleman, aren't you? So you need to ensure that is happening. So the way that works really, really well is ensuring you have something that we call work specification. and work breakdown. What is those documents? Those documents are documents that allows you to spell out what you want the builders to do in sequence and in payment phases. Okay, so you want to be doing that in that way so that then when they do the work, they'll be checking on those boxes. I've done that, I've done that, I've done that, I've done that. And then this is the next phase of the payment. You obviously, as the managing director as well as the project manager, you need to go and inspect the work to ensure that it's been done the way it's been stipulated in the contract and it's been done in a professional manner. And then what you then do is to release the funds and pay your builder. But before you release the funds from your builder, you would have already asked for that same payment, hopefully higher than that, because you're going to be making margin from your works, from your investor. So once you've invested, paid that money, and then it's now time to pay your builders. And then you pay your builders, and then they carry on then doing the works that way. In a nutshell, that's how it works. However, there are obstacles along the way. The first obstacle, basically, is managing tradespeople. Tradespeople are very, very hard to manage. They will tell you this and they do something completely different. So you have to be on top of your game, ensuring that they're doing what you've agreed with them to do, not messing about, not being easy, stuff like that. You have to be strict and really, really firm in whatever you've agreed with your builders. As soon as you start messing about with what you've agreed with them, have giving them leeway, they will take advantage of it. That's one way of dealing with it. And I would advise you also not to give one contractor all the building work. The reason is because they may mess you about and they are kind of a bit expensive as well, because they might not be doing all the work themselves. They will be subcontracting that work to someone else that then subsequently make their labor cost higher. And then obviously that also makes your price higher a bit, because you'd have to make your margin in order for your investors to pay you. So basically you want to be getting them individually and manage them in sequence to ensure that your projects work really, really well. And another obstacle you may face with builders is they want their money. Sometimes they want their money before they even finish the work. Here is what you want to do, is to be strict on the contract and the phases and the work specification. If they turn around and said, look, I need payments, okay, have we done XYZ? If the answer is no, so unfortunately, I will not be able to pay you for work you haven't done. And you have to stick to that, because you want to be disciplined and being consistent on that disciplinary action. Because if you don't, they will start messing you about, telling, listen, I love you so much, but until the work is done, I've got your money, I will not pay you your money. So end of the day, that's what the agreement says, and we have to stick to that agreement. So thirdly, they may want to threaten you, saying, okay, I'm going to leave your project. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to do it anymore if I don't get paid. Tell them, look, you can go. Not a problem at all. But as long as you haven't done the work, I will not pay you, and the work needs to be done. So what you want to do at that point is to have a face-to-face conversation with them. Don't go out. Don't go texting, WhatsApping, and having an argument on the phone. Give them a call. Ask them to meet up and discuss what their concerns are, and then obviously speak to them politely, let them understand your point of view so that then they can carry on doing the works. So, and then when it comes to payment also, with the way you treat your builders, you don't want to be paying them lots of money up front. What you want to do is to pay them in phases, but you leave a bigger chunk for the end of the project, right? You might want to be holding back 40% of that payment, because if you pay them and it's only left 10%, they're bugging off to another job. So you want to be holding back a bigger chunk in order to entice them to complete that project with you. I've seen builders walk away from project knowing that they've only got 10% left on that project. They rather go and do the job somewhere else. And again, this is the reason why the work specification and the contract, JCT contract, is very important, because everybody will need to abide to that contract. And the other difficulties you may face, development or renovation project never and ever completes on time, okay? There are always delays, there's always things like that. So what you want to do is to have your own deadline between you and your investor, okay? Knowing that the project may delay. Suppose you want the project to finish in 16 weeks. You want to communicate to your builder that you want this project to complete in 14 weeks. right? The reason why you do that is to give you a couple of weeks leeway just in case the project overran, because it's most likely for it to overrun. Sometimes the builder will call you and tell you their cat has died or their dog has died, stuff like that. So basically you need to understand that if there might be delay. So what normally causes the delay? One is the payment issue that we've just talked about, and secondly, materials. Materials may not get delivered on time. Obviously, if materials do not get delivered on time, guess what? The project get delayed. Or perhaps builders got ill, or something happened along the way, their car got problems or something along that line would also delay your project. So it's important for you to have enough room to wiggle over to ensure that you have adequate time to complete your project. And be firm with your agreement with the builders, with your investors, to ensure that you deliver that project nicely. So in order for you to stop or reduce the delay, you could do it this way, is by asking your builders or your tradespeople to tell you the materials they need before they need it. And this is where the problem comes, because most builders work on the go, okay? So what you wanna do is basically is to sit with them, ask them what we need, write that down, and then obviously ask them how often they will need these materials, and you'll be on top of the game to actually get these materials. And where the delays also comes is when the investor would have to buy the materials themselves. So if they have to buy the materials themselves, again, the builder would have to tell you, and then you then have to tell your investor, and then the investor then have to go and search for the product or for the materials that is needed to be delivered. And then that then tend to drag a little bit. So if you are the project manager or you own the company, it's important for you to work with the investor. Say, look, I've got a trades account, go and buy the materials there. Or what you want to do is to tell your builders to go to your trades account or to the trade merchant, order the materials, send the invoices over to you so you can forward that to the investor straight away. So the investor get the invoice, pay for the invoice, the builder either pick the materials from there or get the materials delivered at site. So these are the ways you could overcome obstacles like that. And communication is key. Always communicate with your builders, especially if you're not local to where the project is happening. So how do you communicate with your builders? You communicate with them by creating a WhatsApp group. So what you want to be telling them, any communications, anything so far, needs to be on that WhatsApp group. And also, updates are very pivotal to your investment journey or to your renovation business. What you want to be doing basically is to tell your builders every single day, send me photos before and after to show me what you've done. The importance of doing that, it gives you the timeline, it gets you to check on what the builders are doing, because obviously you don't want to be traveling to your project every single day, because if you did, one, you're not making profit, second, you're wasting your time, thirdly, the builder would not want to see you there, because it's like you are supervising or monitoring what they're doing. So you want them to be independent, at the same time able to work without you being there. Okay, so ask them, look, when you turn up, take a photo, and then when you finish, take a photo and send it over to me so I can update my investor. So find a reason for them to send that video to say, look, I need that photo and video so I can update my investor to ensure that the project is going well. So you keeping on doing that. So anytime they do it, you watch it, you look at the video, you look at the photos to ensure it's been done correctly. And before you release any payments to the builders, go and check the work yourself. If you've got a project manager, make sure your project manager go and check the work. I've seen people get burned doing this, where the builders will go and hang cables, put skirting board on the wall, not even screwing them in or gluing them against the wall. They then send a photo saying, oh, this is done, only to go next day or the next week, find out they have not even nailed those skirting boards against the wall. So very important for you to go and review the work before you release funds. And another obstacle you could also face is weather issue, where when it's raining consistently or we've got snow or things like that. So if that happens in your project, especially if you're doing work from the outside, it may delay the project as well. So what you could do in that instance, so ask them to do the works in the inside of the property to ensure that at least then some stuff are going whilst they're waiting to get a better weather to do any works that they want to do from the outside. Having a renovation company is one of the best ways to create additional income for you. Suppose you are a property investor, you do not need to be a builder to be able to have a renovation company. All you need to do is to have creative people, smart people to do the work for you whilst you get the deals and bring them over to get the builders to do. To summarize, one, you need to have a name. Ensure that name is not out there. You register the company with Company House. You have a bank account. You have your insurance. Get the investors ready. Look for the tradespeople. Then monitor, review your project along the way once you've got hired. And then obviously get your contract for both your investors and your tradespeople, and then work together to make a win-win resolution. I really hope this video has been helpful. If this video has been helpful, smash the like button below. Subscribe to my channel for more amazing videos. I look forward to sharing the next video. Thank you. That's all for today. And thanks to our guests for sharing their property investment journey with us. It has been a truly inspirational story to me, and I hope it has been an inspiration to you too to take the leap of faith to start or scale your property investment adventure. In the meantime, if you would like to share your investment journey, I have made it really easy. Just go to rahimbad.com/guest. Fill out a short questionnaire to sign up and we will get in touch. Whilst you're there, sign up for my monthly newsletter to get your property investment news and updates, or connect with me in Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Rahimba, and TikTok, Rahimba101. Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to smash the like button and leave me a review wherever you're listening or watching from. I shall see you next time.